And we would like to welcome our radio audience to the Sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. We are located at 333 South Chestnut Street, and if you are blessed by this radio ministry and would like to support it, gifts may be sent to 333 South Chestnut Street. Our flowers this morning are provided by Seymour Recycling, and our radio is sponsored by Mark and Kathy Smallwood in honor of Jack Murphy's birthday. A few radio announcements for our audience. Children's Night Out is scheduled for Monday, June 13th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. They will be watching a movie that is yet to be announced, and ages 4 through 12 can participate. Parents, if your kids really need some time away from you, please bring them down to 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour for a couple of hours. I'm sure they'll enjoy the break. Our next community meal is scheduled for Saturday, June 18th from 5 to 7 p.m. If you need a free meal or just don't want to cook that night, please come and get a free meal and warm communication here at Trinity United Methodist Church. Attention to all children from ages preschool to fifth grade. Trinity United Methodist Church is joining with First United Methodist Church to have Vacation Bible School. It will be June 20th through June 23rd from 5:30 to 8 p.m. here at Trinity at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour. Please come join us in discovering Jerusalem. This morning's scripture, is from John, verse 3:16, and John 4:7 through 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. Oh, I apologize. Thank you. Let me restart. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or a sister, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. This morning's sermon is entitled God is Love and will be given by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
Good morning. God is love, and we are incapable of fully and totally loving without God's help. We will never reach the point of the unconditional love that our Father has for us. I love our response, the song after the message. It's titled Gyra, and to me it illustrates God's unconditional love. It starts out by defining how the singer feels to be loved by God. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Nothing, but nothing compares to the love of God. He loves us in an He loves us in an unconditional way impossible for humans. The next verse of the song says, I wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. Generally speaking, human beings feel that they are holding one another up in love, whether that be family love, brotherly love, or marital love. And when we miss the mark, whether by sin, whether by betrayal, or whether because we are human beings and cannot be all things to all people, we let down those that we love. The next line says, doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. We do not have to tire ourselves endlessly. We cannot possibly earn God's love. It is already freely given. The song goes on to say, going through a storm, but I won't back down. And then the singer says, you would cross an ocean so that I would not drown. How many times in our lives when we hit rock bottom, when we feel like we have nothing left, when the walls are crumbling down, when we're in the hospital, when our loved ones are going through a storm, how many times do we feel alone? And then, all of a sudden, we feel the warmth of God's love. Nothing but nothing but nothing can make us feel stronger, more loved, more capable than God's love. The singer goes on to profess his love by saying, Gyra, you are enough. I will be content in every circumstance. How wonderful it is. Can you imagine being so securely loved that you are content in every circumstance? Well, the truth is that we are. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now that, beloved, is love. The singer says, I know who I am. I know what you have spoken. I am chosen. I am already loved more than I can imagine, and that is enough. This singer fully knows that he is loved. This singer knows that he is a new creation in Jesus Christ and that we are his and that God's word has authority. God is love. How do we define love? The American Heritage Dictionary defines it as an intense affection for another person based on familial or personal ties. Often this intense attraction stems from a sexual attraction. We love other people, or we say we love other people, when we are attracted to them and when they make us feel good about us. Notice that there is a key phrase in the dictionary definition of love, and that phrase is based on. The phrase implies that we love conditionally, that before we fully give our love, the person must meet some condition that we have. How many times have you heard or even said, I love you because you're cute. I love you because you take such good care of me. Or I love you because you are fun to be with. In doing so, we have placed a condition on that person. We love based upon feelings and emotions that can change from one moment to the next. That's why the divorce rate is so high in this society. People fall in love, they pledge their love to one another. And rather than remembering that love is a choice, love is something that comes from God, and without relying on him to love another person, You cannot fully sustain that love. People fall in love, and then something happens during their marriage, and they do not immediately feel those tender, squishy feelings anymore. And they walk out of the marriage. They say, I've fallen out of love. I've fallen out of love. Well, when we remember that love is a choice, love is an action, love is a verb, and love is something that we must turn to God in order to be able to sustain. Even when we do not fully feel that love, we are able to sustain that love. Can anyone really comprehend unconditional love? The best we humans can do is that love that us parents and grandparents have for our little ones. When they do not meet our expectations, when they are acting unlovable, we don't stop loving them. We don't turn that love off. As a matter of fact, hopefully most of us love more deeply and love more fully at that time when they need it the most. That is the best that we humans can do. That when our children do not meet our expectations, we love them anyway. God is love. So how does God define love? The Bible tells us that God is love, 1 John 4:8. But how can we even begin to understand that truth? There are many passages in the Bible that give us God's definition of love, but the most well-known one is John 3:16. So one way God defines this love is the act of giving. However, what God gave, or should we say who God gave, was not a mere gift-wrapped present. God sacrificed his one and only Son that we, who put our faith in his Son Jesus, would not spend eternity separated from God. This is an amazing love, especially considering we are the ones who tend to reject God. We tend to reject his love. We tend to reject his commandments. Yet it is God who mends a separation through his intense personal sacrifice, and all we have to do is to accept this free gift. Another great verse about God's love is found in Romans 5:8. But God commendeth, or entrusted, his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In this verse and in John 3:16, we find that no conditions are placed on God's love for us. God does not say, as soon as you clean up your act, I will love you. Or, I will sacrifice my Son if you promise to love me. One of the saddest things I hear from Christians all the time, and I have heard from my own children, Mom, I can't go back to church. Mom, I can't turn back to God until I clean myself up first. Beloved, it is impossible for us to clean ourselves up enough to where we would feel worthy of turning back to God without God's help. When we're struggling, when we're at our very worst, when we are ugly, I don't know about you, but there are times where I am just ugly. My thoughts are filled with ugly thoughts. Terry's laughing over there because she's seen it a couple of times. That's when God loves me the most. That's when he wraps his arms around me. That's when he pours his Spirit into me. Is when I am incapable of loving others. When I am incapable of walking in love. When I am incapable of being that vessel that God called to love the world. God is love, and his love is very different from human love. God's love is unconditional, and it is not based on fleeting emotions or feelings. God doesn't love us because we're lovable or because we make him feel good. He loves us because he is love. He created us to have loving relationship with Him. And He sacrificed His Son, who also, may I remind you, willingly died for us. Jesus Christ willingly died for us to restore, to reconcile the relationship between us and a good and holy God who cannot be around us when we are filled with sin. Jesus Christ took the sin of the world upon Himself. Now that's love, to take the sin of past, present, and future upon Himself so that we can be called blameless and we can stand before a good and righteous and loving God. You know, people say God is love. God is all love. Everybody's going to heaven. God is love. Well, that's not what my word says. My word says that I have to intentionally choose God through His Son, Jesus Christ. That I must choose Him. That I must accept that free gift of love. If I do not, I will be eternally separated from God. And yes, our God is love. Our God is mercy. Our God is compassion. But our God is also judgment. Our God is also pointing us the way to be more and more daily like His Son, Jesus Christ, showing us how to love one another. I love the song that says, Lord, I lift Your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show us the way. From the earth to the grave, my debt to pay. From the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift Your name on high. That is how much our good and loving God loves us. When the scriptures say God is love, they're not telling us that God is some warm, fuzzy feeling of love that can wither away at any time. When the writers who penned the scriptures were saying that our limited form of love cannot find God on its own, we must be filled with God's love. God first loved us. God called us unto Himself. We love God because He first loved us. We mean that God is the very definition of love itself. There is no such thing as love without God. God is the creator of all things, and by His very nature, He is love. God says love is unconditional and sacrificial, and it is not based upon whimsical feelings. To understand that true love is, and to be able to truly love others, we must know God. And we can do this through a close and personal relationship with Him, through His Son, Jesus Christ, who was God's sacrifice of love for us. True love comes only through a relationship with Him. It doesn't come through coming to church because our parents did, because our grandparents did. It comes from us getting in the scriptures, meeting together every Sunday, worshiping God and loving Him because He first loved us, being able to hear His voice in the still of the wind. That is how we get to have a personal, deep relationship with God. 1 John 4:7-11 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. And in this it was manifested the love of God towards us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son to be the appeasement for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If you want to know this love, true love, get to know God. get alone with Him, spend time in His Word, spend time in His creation, in nature, how can you even begin to look at the magnificence of nature and not know just how much God loves us, that He has given us such a beautiful creation? The song Jireh reminds us of God's word, stating that if God dresses the lilies in the fields with beauty and splendor and watches over the sparrow, how much more does God love you and I? The singer reminds us of God's love by singing this verse more than three times. More than you ask, think, or imagine, according to His power working in you, it is more than enough. Romans 8:35 through 39 tells us that nothing but nothing can separate us from the love of God. I don't know about you, but that is comfort to me, because sometimes I do or think or act in a way that makes me fear that God might turn from me. But there is nothing that can separate us from God's love through Christ. Not tribulation, not distress, not persecution, famine or nakedness, a sword, danger, nor even life and death itself, angels or the very real powers of darkness in the heavenly realms cannot separate us from God's love. For that love was deposited into Jesus Christ, and He shed His blood freely for us. It does not matter what we have done. My baby girl's favorite verse, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Christ Jesus is our Lord. Because John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. What should our response to God's love be? We love because God first loved us. Let us love others with the love of God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, our response to God's love is 1 John 4:7 through 21, which Cassie read earlier, but I will read again, because Isaiah 55:11 tells us that God's word does not return void, but accomplishes His purposes. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us, that He has given us His Spirit, and that we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they can see cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this commandment. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. We love because God first loved us. Because God is love, and we are called to love all of God's children. All of our brothers and sisters, red and yellow, black and white, rich or poor, old or young, like us or not. The Bible is clear on this. Our response is to know in every circumstance that we are loved and to love others with God's love.
I'll never be more loved than I am right. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now.
Stay by my side when the sun goes.